Blog Talk Radio.
Our eyes can only see so much. But what if they could see more? What if you could see the world in a more interesting way? You could finally work with horses. You love horses. Or what if rather than using your mind's eye, you could see things with your eyes' mind? Things like, I don't know, a virtual wardrobe. Ooh, I like the yellow. You could make imaginary friends real, or see your real friends in a more imaginary way. Because when you start to see the things you love in a whole new way, you start to want to share them with the world.
With me?
Well, maybe not the whole world.
Oh, right, okay.
And weirdly enough, that helps us all see ourselves and each other just a little more clearly. The floor is being.
This is Dr. Chinchilla Donesia, the commissioner of WBNN. The those of you that have been having trouble tuning into WBNN's programming due to phone service provider issues with Metro, T-Mobile, or Cricket, I have a solution for you. Go to the Google Play Store or the Apple Play Store, download the TextNow app onto your cell phone, choose a phone number, and then you will be able to tune into all of WBNN's programming. I am the Honorable Dr. Chinchilla J.
Of Ngozi Enterprises via the Beverly Nation. You are listening to Righteous Consciousness, and I am your host, Darlene Lawrence. This is the 532nd episode of the Beverly Nation. Dear Father, thank you for this opportunity to share what has been placed on my heart. I pray that we receive awareness and understanding, and that we go on to do your work as we rebuild a people and ultimately a nation. In the name of your precious son, Jesus, amen. Good evening, everyone. Tonight, my heart is heavy laden. It is heavier than even when I began to bring this series to you 2 weeks ago. Tonight, we will be talking about the title of tonight's discussion is Police Are to Protect and Serve. Is there another agenda? And tonight is part two. And as I see it, this may expand a little bit more because as I have been doing my research, I've come across so many different areas where the police are not protecting and serving. Not the common good of man, not in its efforts to promote peace and harmony in the land. But what I have seen has hurt me in so many ways, and not just myself, so many people. So I know, once again, that this question that I asked, it raises eyebrows across the country because of the hell that we see breaking out in our streets. We see people taken to the streets protesting, peaceful protests. But then there is so much frustration that some of the protests have gone awry, far, far to the left or to the right, whatever side, but not where it should be. Not in a way, in a manner to promote harmony, to promote justice, to promote standing up for the common good of man, not in that way. As we talked last week, and as I just said, we see these demonstrations all over. To kind of review some of the information that I put out there last week, we live in a society with approximately 1,800 police departments coast to coast in these United States. There is approximately, if not more, 500,000 sworn-in police officials. And when we look at what's going on, when we see what's happening, now, don't get me wrong. Every police officer is not a bad police officer. We talked about that last week. But there's just too many situations, too many cases that we're seeing where the police are taking these other avenues of protecting and serving, and they're not protecting us, and they're not serving us in those particular venues. They're not serving us. They're harming us. You have to wonder, what the heck is their agenda? Is their agenda to put us into a position like we're seeing right now that's going on in Baltimore? Is their position to get us to an uprising to the point where we end up making them use their excessive force? Because the stuff that's going on there, many feel justified, but then again, is it real justification? Because after all, we got to live. Life has to go on. And we have to find so much of a better way to do this. Now, I have to say, after, and I'm going to talk about this topic, but I want to just say a little bit about this, because what we're doing is setting ourselves up with the violent protests. We're setting ourselves up for the police to come in and do any and everything. So when I look at the militarization of the police department, they're ready to go. They're just waiting for us to give them something to push the button. And we don't even have to give them much to push that button. No, we don't. We don't have to give them much to push the button at all, because they're already ready. First of all, you know, we got to talk about a couple of things here. But first I want to say this. We are broadcasting out of Roseland, Pennsylvania. I do want you to not just sit back and listen to this information. I know everybody got something they need to say about this. So do not hesitate to dial in the number 347-202-0392 and join in this conversation, because we got to keep beating this drum. We can't stop. We got to do something. We got to keep on doing what we're doing, because when we talk about the details of this latest event, somebody has to understand. Somebody have to say, wow, we need to stop fighting each other and unite together. That is what we need to do. So again, we are broadcasting out of Roseland, Pennsylvania. The number to call in is 347-202-0392. Now, as we're going on talking about what is happening in this society, we say Black Lives Matter, and yes, they do. Every life matter. But I'm going to have to tell you, in my research, and I try to make it a point, for people to understand that my show is not just about one race. Now, don't get me wrong. You've heard me say it before, and I ain't got no problem with continually saying it. I'd be a fool if I didn't care about my own people. Definitely care about all people, because we all need each other if we're living and doing the right things. I was doing a little bit of research. One of the things that I saw was a clip with a young lady and her son traveling in Texas. And the police stopped them. The police stopped them because they said that she was speeding. She was driving over the speed limit. Her son, who was a minor, and the child looked like he may have been teens, maybe 15, 16, but he was a minor, and he was in her custody driving with her. She was the one that committed the crime, if such be a crime, by going over the speed limit. They ordered her son out of the car. Now, I have to tell you, this wasn't a black family. This was a Caucasian family. So what I want everybody right here to listen to and zero in, Black lives matter. All lives matter. But it is a mindset of these police officers that we have to be so very careful. They are so on the edge, and they are so full of whatever doggone, whatever they popped up with, that they think that many of them think that they are above the law. Now, as I'm describing to you this situation where this woman, a white woman, and her son was stopped, and they were told, get out of the car. And the woman said, what law did we break? And they continued to harass her and wanting to interrogate her son. And she, being a woman that had some understanding of the law, said, no, you can't interrogate my son. My son is a minor, number one. Number two, I'm right here. He's done nothing wrong. If I broke the law, tell me what law I broke and deal with me. And they continued to harass her. And she was streaming this the whole time and even told them that she was streaming this whole incident. She asked them, what law? You tell me, recite to me, what law I broke. And they continued to tell her, we don't have to tell you that. And she was smart to tell her son, don't answer anything. Answer nothing. Was her words exactly. They kept wanting her to get in the car while they keep her son for what they thought was reasonable suspicion. Reasonable suspicion of what? You see, this is where they're going a little bit cocky and crazy, is this terminology that they're using is reasonable suspicion. The same words that they use with Michael Brown, the same words that they use with every one of the victims that have been murdered at the hands of the police. And this last victim that has drawn national attention, Freddie Gray. Reasonable suspicion, once again, landed this man. My heart goes out because that man died a painful death. He died painful death. I mean, every death is every death that has been committed has been wrong. But this man died a torturous death. Again, I like to say we are broadcasting out of Roslyn, Pennsylvania. The number to dial in is 347-202-0392. Had to collect myself for a second because, you know, when I think about the torture, I mean, I've watched video after video, have read report after report, have done so much research. My heart just goes out to this young man's family of what he had and what he endured the hands of those police officers. I don't even want to call them officers. Those thugs. Those thugs. So for some of you that don't know what happened, there was an on-foot pursuit, as they would like to tell it. They would like to make society think that this man was some type of a crazed criminal, serial killer, going to do some form of unjust to society. It was said that he had a switchblade, and they chased him through a housing project for this so-called switchblade. Now, I'm going to tell you something. First of all, after seeing the death of Trayvon Martin, Eric Garner, Oscar Grant, Michael Brown, and I'm not trying to leave anyone else out, but all that we have seen in the recent years and the not-so-recent years, when the police is pursuing you, any black man doesn't know that's his end, does not know if his number is up, because it seems like it finds itself some kind of way to end up being the end, the total end of that person. And then that person is disparaged and looked at like a common criminal. When the criminals, yes, I said it, criminals, that conduct these so-called reasonable suspicion stops, they are the criminals. They are the criminals. I'm kind of jumping around a little bit off my transcript, but I just got to hit back at an article that I read the other day. Michael Brown's family is following a civil suit against Ferguson Police Department. And Michael Brown's family is asking for $75,000. I'm not trying to be critical, but the way that man was gunned down in the street like a piece of nothing, it is certainly more than $75,000 that they should be asking for the death of their son. Once again, this is a topic that is just so passionate, that I feel so passionate about, because when we see how life don't matter, and there is no dollar limit, none whatsoever, that can ever amount to a life, none whatsoever. Life is precious. We've done a bad job as a race in terms of caring enough for each other. Black lives have to matter to ourselves instead of getting hoodwinked into the street game and end up shooting up, killing each other. Because if we don't care for each other, why do we think people that don't look like us, that has said through the history, through our history and through time, that they don't even want to be around us, why in the world do you think they should care if we don't care? When are we going to stop the senselessness? I want to get back on track with this story about this young man that the police apprehended in a very brutal manner. You know, when I saw the clips of them, when they apprehended him, had him down on the ground, and the people that were watching, the spectators that were looking on, and they just wasn't sitting back, maybe some of them were, but they were yelling out to the police. And these police are so cocky. They are so enthralled in their thinking that they think that they're justified. They think that they are doing what they are supposed to do. And what they're supposed to do is protect and serve. Well, this high on-foot pursuit of a so-called switchblade ended up to be a pocket knife of legal size. This man had no such weapon on his person that would have even caused a pursuit. Probably one of those little Boy Scout Swiss Army knife, whatever it was, but it was of legal size. It was not something that was illegal to carry. But they treated him and hunt him down like a dog. And what they did to that man, what they did to him, people that was observing and yelling at the police that was dragging him after they had him handcuffed and dragged him and threw him into the back of the wagon. And the people could see that his leg looked broke. And they're telling the police, why are you dragging him like that? His leg is broke. Police didn't care. They kept right on doing what they were doing. They continued to do what they were doing. And I'm going to tell you just how egregious this thing was. They threw him in the back of that wagon, handcuffed, did not secure him. They did not strap him down. They did not seat buckle him on. Because it's a little ride of death that the Baltimore Police Department had been doing. Throwing people in the back of a wagon and taking them on a hell ride where they get all banged up and hurt up and everything inside the wagon. They knew that Mr. Gray's body was already injured. He posed no threat whatsoever to them. They all have semi-automatic weapons. He had a legal-sized pocket knife. They apprehended him and threw him in the back of that wagon and took him on that hell ride, and not that they took him straight to the hospital. And this is the part that breaks my heart. They took him on three other stops to pick up some more people. They detained, taking this man to seek medical attention. This is one of the worst of all. Now, just with that little bit that we're talking about, can somebody please tell me why these officers are on administrative leave with pay? I deal with people that may have gotten terminated or suspended pending an investigation because maybe they falsified their time or maybe some other situation could have occurred. But the thing about it, they don't get one plug nickel. Why are these police officers getting paid while they are out on this administrative leave, so-called investigation? Now, anybody that know me, and it's no secret, I'm pro-union all the way. But I cannot condone anybody to do that type of inhumane behavior. And their police attorney, their union attorney, that's their job. They have a fiduciary responsibility to represent their client. It comes down to a social issue. It comes down to a human issue. It comes down to just knowing right from wrong. That's what it comes down to. I guess me, if I had to do that, in that respect, and knowing something like that, I would have to say, can't do it. You got to get somebody else on this one. Can't do it. Because I could not, knowing that what they did was wrong. There's no reason why in the world. You see, you got to get the picture. They're in this wagon. They're not strapped in. They're taking them on a high-speed ride. The wagon is jaking. They slam it on the brakes. Your hands, your handcuffs. you have no way of bracing yourself. So you're thrown all over the place. This man was already injured, and he suffered injuries. My God. My God. Again, we are discussing the police are to protect and serve. Is there another agenda? Now, if anybody know what that agenda is, please feel free to call in tonight at 347-202-0392. We are broadcasting out of Roslyn, Pennsylvania. As we are discussing this whole situation, what is going on, you know, I've seen more regard for the dogs that Michael Vick was imprisoned for. I've seen more regard for those animals than for the human lives that have been snuffed out. And if we look at the amount of time, and truthfully, let's be for real here. Let's really be for real. The Michael Browns, the Trayvon Martins, the Eric Garners, LaBelle Hall, and not to leave anybody out, of course, Freddie Gray and all of the others that have died in this manner. The only reason why it has become nationwide is because of the use of smartphones. People either recording the conversations, people recording the incident. And let me not forget Walter Scott. Okay, let's not forget that man as well. And I said not to forget the others, but I have to call his name because it was just before Mr. Gray. Here we go again. Here we go again. The police, and I sometimes I got to bite my tongue because I know that there are some decent officers. We had the opportunity and privilege to speak to one when we were on the show, on the air last time. But it hurts me to have to say it because I'm looking at just about all of them suspect. They have another agenda, and it is certainly not to see you make it to your next birthday, if they can get away with it. The YouTube clip I was speaking on, the other, you know, about the white mother with her minor son, it's definitely more blacks that are being murdered at the hands of the police. But it is definitely a lot, you know, it is definitely other nationalities. And if we're looking at it as a racism thing, and I even thought, because who is to say, I don't, you know, a lot of the KKK, you out there listening, you know, you don't like Jews either. So who is to say if this woman was not of Jewish descent while you were giving her that trouble or not. I don't know that or not. I'm just speculating at this point. But I have to say, we don't know. But one thing I do know, the police are out of control. They think that they can do things to people and get away with it because they have. When we look at Darren Wilson, a man that is tall in stature, just as tall as Michael Brown, and he's going to have the audacity to sit there and say that he felt like a five-year-old in front of Hulk Hogan. He had no threat. Michael Brown had no enemy. No weapon. He had no weapon. Anything, Michael Brown should have felt like the five-year-old in front of Hulk Hogan. But you see how they flipped it? And he goes off and he gets $1 million from the police fund or wherever the heck he gets the money from. And he goes off into the sunset and he lives a happy life and the man is dead. And no telling me they not high-five and say, hey, woo, yeah, you did that one good. It is a good old boys club gang. That's what it is. But we got to deal with it in a smart sense. Because tearing up our communities and our neighborhoods, that's not the way to do it. Freddie Gray's mother pleaded that the community did not do anything detrimental. She even said that her son would not have wanted that. Now, we know that things have gotten real crazy out of hand. Part of it is to give you a reason so they can do something. The other part is so that the world can just say, look at them. All should be eliminated. Is that going to help us for real? What should help us, and we've talked about this in the past, when we look back and we see what happened with the Montgomery boycott, economic power. Okay, economic power is what we possess that could hit them in the gut. But you know what? We done become enslaved to all the materialism that this country offers. We done become enslaved to the $400 hair, the $500 red sole shoes, cars that we can't really afford, but it looks good driving around in them. And you know, one of the biggest things that get me, especially with our young people, and I love y'all, but I got to say it, y'all hook up those old cars, the darn wheels, are more value than the whole car. You value the wrong things. You don't value education. You don't value looking for a better way to make a better life for yourself. Instead, you play right into that game. And you don't think that education is the key. No, you don't think education is the key because you're too busy trying to live a life that you've seen on television that you think you should live. Subliminal suggestioning. That's what you're doing. You're taking what you think should be and letting it take you somewhere. But it ain't the road you think that you're really going to go on. Okay? It's a distraction. Now, I see that I have my sister, our chaplain, on the air. My sister, we need you tonight.
My heart is heavy and is really breaking behind what is going on not just in Baltimore, but around the world.
Yes.
But for it to be going on in Baltimore right now, it just breaks my heart to see that much rage and anger and hatred that has been built up due to years and years of injustices.
Yeah.
And, you know, my heart is breaking because I'm with protesting. I'm with peaceful marches. I'm with sit-ins. I'm with people who, like a young man, I forget the man's name, it was on social media the other day, the college student who laid sprawled out on the ground for an hour as a form of protest for what happened to Mike Brown. I'm for protest, but my heart is breaking because we are playing right into the hands of the powers to be.
Yes.
We are reacting out of anger instead of out of consciousness.
Yes.
And because of that, we're killing ourselves. You know, the store that they set on fire for that neighborhood, that was the only major store in that neighborhood, in the entire neighborhood. That CVS was the only, I mean, there were little mom and pop stores all around or in different locations, but that was the only store in that neighborhood. And it was set on fire. And this is how you know there is an alternate agenda. If you watched the videos and things as it was playing out on the news and you timed from the time that the smoke started, all of those cops were standing down there.
Yes.
And it took that long for the fire department to get there? It's no way you can tell me there's not some other type of agenda. The problem is the reactions we're showing, it breaks my heart and puts it in fear for the people of Baltimore, especially the young blacks of Baltimore. And I hate to make it seem like it's a black and white thing, because some media sources are doing that right now. They're saying that the blacks are doing this to the whites, and that's not what it's about. But because of the ignorance and the violence that's being shown to the world from the anger of young people and some older people who are manipulating the young people to bring this about, what's going to happen when the news cameras go away? These same police officers, and I'm the ones who did what they did, need to face justice. No, they should not be on paid administrative leave. No, they should not be able to walk around free and dandy. However, on the same token, like, they were throwing rocks and bottles and things like that at the police. So now, whereas you were saying once they were agitating us, now we've taken it to the point of agitating back. The problem is we don't have the protective gear that they have.
Absolutely.
And no matter how much weapons you may think you have, you will never be able to mask the weaponry of a state, let alone a nation. We're going about it the wrong way. And in the long run, if we don't stop and take this anger and organize it constructively and show our young people how to constructively protest, we are going to have more situations like what the Gray family is going through right now.
Yeah.
It comes down to, when do we stop? Where are our leaders at? Where are our community leaders at? Baltimore, if y'all can't get yourselves organized, I'm willing to come to Baltimore and meet with any ministers that's willing to put a stop to this, that's willing to stand up and say, you know what, God forbid we lost the one we lost, but we refuse to let our anger cause us to have to bury another child.
Yes.
Another father, another brother, another friend. And for the cops, I understand that blue bond. I understand it. But the blue bond is supposed to be for those who took an oath to protect and serve, not to search and harm. So you need to cut those evil cops that are making you look, all of you look evil. Y'all need to cut them from your little blue bond. Stop hovering around to protect them when they're doing dirt, because they're putting your lives in more danger.
Absolutely.
Because now,
absolutely,
how do we teach our children to trust a uniform when it's the uniform that does them the most harm?
Absolutely. Well, my sister, I want you to stay right there. Stay with us. But I want to bring on our illustrious producer, my brother.
Well, first of all, I want to say this. Chaplain, wonderful to hear from you tonight. And I know we're going to lead us out in the word of prayer at the end, right before Ngozi's time. In 1968, February the 27th, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. wanted to go to Memphis to help sanitation workers. And he vowed that he would make sure that they would get a living wage. He said, how can we live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages? So he went there in March 27th, 1968. This was the first time, Chaplain and Darlene, our host, that he led a march that ended violently. We all know that it was said, this is all said, so I'm not saying anything wrong on the air. The FBI was involved in this with the Marauders, a gang that was in Memphis And they were always, they were Wahoo boys. And they were the ones that broke the windows and caused the ruckus on Beale Street that morning. And before Dr. King died, they talked at the Lorraine, and they said, well, what happened? Who sent you? Yeah, who did this? And the young man said, the FBI. I'm wondering, not trying to put out the Federal Bureau of Investigation, because I think they're doing a great job trying to investigate what's going on down there in Baltimore at this time, different times in 68 than this in 2015, okay? So we're moving back there, please stop moving. Here's the situation right now. In Baltimore, Maryland right now, we got kids who are just messing with innocent people. The innocent Caucasian people that came out of the Cannon Yard ballpark last night. They were thrown, and Darlene, listen to me, Darlene and Chaplin. They were thrown, trash was thrown upon them and their children. Why? Why? I understand that you're upset. I understand that the way the man died was horrible in itself and in all things. But I call on the city of Baltimore and all the punks that's out there that's doing the wrong thing. You know who you are. You're a bunch of punks. You're savages. Just like the man says you are. All you out there doing the dirt, burning down your own supermarket. You're hardly getting anything eaten now with your welfare checks and all that. And your food stamps. Those who, you know, people who do work every day pay for your salary to get those things, right? So now where are you going to eat? Huh? You break into the Foot Lockers and all that, and you ride everything. Now where are you going to shop? Let me explain something to you, okay? Let me explain something to you loud and clear. And this is my editorial. My thoughts tonight are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio, LTD, and its subsidiaries, as well as my company, Beverly Nation Incorporated, as well as Olandelli and Gozi Enterprise. I'm going to go old school Lonnie Beverly on you tonight, and that's why I'm glad it says PG-13. You're a bunch of assholes. Point blank. If you got kids out there doing your dirt and you're setting kids up to go to jail and you say that black lives matter, okay, I challenge all you savages out there who are doing the dirt in Baltimore City tonight. You savages, not black people, not great black people, not strong black people, not stand up for the race, not because, you know, you're letting down Martin and Malcolm because they died. And that old race, like my father and my mother, that race, Chaplin, that race, Darlene, they're dying off. In a slow breeze, okay? Mm-hmm. They were the great race, okay? Now, Darlene said something tonight that was deep. Darlene said that you have to care about who you are. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, during that time of the civil rights movement, white folk, yeah, I'm going to say old, good old-fashioned white folk, said, my God, the niggers, remember that, the views that I'm saying tonight, I'm an editor, I own this shit. So calm down, and I'm going to say what I want to say tonight. I own this network. Now, let's go back. And am I going old school, Darlene? Because they don't know the old Lonnie Beverly in me. I try to be old as Beverly and Goldie, but I'm going Lonnie tonight. Let me explain something to you. The white folks gave us civil rights because we stood up for ourselves. We were to lay down our lives peacefully in those shut-ins down there in Greensboro, North Carolina, where we did our thing with Woolworth. In the times we drove those, thank God for people like John Lewis, who rode those Greyhounds, can I get an amen, who rode those trail raids in the threat of death and did not fight back. What they fought back was their moral courage. And white folk came along and said, oh, my God, all for white Jews, Gentiles, like Dr. King said, Protestants and Catholics came along with us and said, you know what? The black man's cause should be our cause, too. The black man's cause should be our cause, too. How do you think we were respected in television and Broadway and all those entertainments, being able to be accepted athletically, being able to be accepted scientifically? Doctors like Ben Carson and all those great people coming up upon America, making a change. Why? Just like Malcolm X said, you have to do for self before you let anybody else do for you. Baltimore City, savages. Let me explain something to you. I really don't care about the market share. I never care. I'm all that and then some. I don't need your market share to survive. I'm a Republican, remember? So listen to this young black Republican tonight talk to you, okay? They're setting up places for you to go. tell you something. Keep doing what you're doing, and you're going to find yourself in those places where your mama and daddy can't find you, where your whole Social Security record will be wiped away. I don't need to go home because that's where you're setting yourself up to do. Baltimore City savages, you're savages. The ones who stand up, and I understand the frustration like Darlene said tonight. I understand that. Yes, you're tired. Yes, you're frustrated. But let me say something. I said to a friend of mine today, this afternoon, we talked about Detroit City. Do anybody remember 1967? Does any of that, Chaplin, Darlene, Chaplin.
Mm-hmm.
1967 changed the way Detroit City is today. Bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
They put something down on y'all, man, a 40-year plan to destroy the greatest cultivation of African-American home ownership in the whole entire world. Why? Because Dodge Maine was there. GM Maine was there, and also Ford Maine was there. I said Maine. The main campuses of the great Motown juggernaut that is the automotive industry. People came up from the South and began to get jobs. They were happy. Somebody said, wait a minute, this is a strong black base. No. All people want to do is just be able to live and have money. We're not here to take over America. No one's here to blow up the post office. Calm down, white supremacy. Y'all stupid. No one's trying to take over what you got because it's impossible. There's only 21 million black Americans in America. 21 million so-called Negroes cannot destroy white supremacy. Why don't you calm down and let everybody eat? Huh? Why don't you calm down and let everybody eat? You've been doing this ever since 1865 when they freed the slaves, and then you knocked up thing about talking about, hey, for you 'cause of mule, we got the disenfranchised on Negroes. We can't have the Negroes to calm down. All we want is a fair shake in life. You white supremacist cops. You black supremacist cops that go with the white supremacy because sometimes you're too black, for the brother and too blue for the badge. There's some good cops out there that don't do those things. You know, I know one. Miss May, you know who I'm talking to. But listen to what I'm saying. There's a lot of people out there that need the strength of their police force. And there's some good cops out there. I'm talking about the Gestapo out there. You know who you are. You've been doing it ever since the Klan back in the 1920s, way back in Huntsville, Alabama. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to bring this stuff back up again. I'll be damned. Listen, the Beverly Nation has always been about change. Sometimes, you know, we get beside ourselves, host. Hold on, I'm not going there, darling. I'm going to go there. We get beside ourselves, host. We started this network to confront folks. Do you remember that? I think only one person, not cutting you off, Chaplin, but you came in at 14, okay? So I'm going to let you hear what I'm saying. Darlene Law, I'm talking to you. And Leah Love is on the program as well. She remembers. When we first started this network, Darlene, did we care about opinions of those? Okay. I don't remember we did. And so we built this network on that. And we all know Chaplin don't bite her tongue. And she wields a strong sword, okay? So, Chaplin, I'm not talking about you. But see, Chaplin wasn't here. Chaplin came along in March of 14. I'm talking about how we started this network. I'd be damned if I allow something to go on in Baltimore City as it's going on. You rotten police officers that did get to that brother, I hope God deals with you in the afterlife, and I hope the law deals with you in your present life. Now, you Baltimore City savages, go home. Okay, go home, read a book, I wish it was reading an article. I'll tell you what to do. But let me tell you something. Read a book, read an MF book, okay? Go home and wipe away the residue and the gunpowder out of your air and just go home and just take care of your children. You know, can you do that? Can you do that? Take care of your damn children. Do you know where your kids are right now? Or they are there right now at the GameStop that was broken up down on North Avenue for now they got their little new YK215 $50,000. You're a disgrace. You are a disgrace to a grand people who fought and died for so-called freedom. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Ain't no such thing as free dumb. If you think you free, you know, that's what I'm saying. Free dumb. You dumb because you think you free. The only way you think, the only way you can be free is in your mind. People are not going to give you freedom, stupid. You got to fight for that. Oh, I want my freedom. I want my freedom, boss man. Can you give up freedom? Shut up. You, henpecked Uncle Tom nigga. I'm looking for black people tonight, not niggas. And once again, this is not the epitome or the product of LawTalkRadio.com, LTD, or it's a subsidiary. And this is not also the opinion of Beverly Nation and its host. It's the opinion of its one and only producer, your mother, your grandma, the one that's buried way back in 1899, her ass is right there in the dirt. I'm her favorite producer, too. Back to Darlene. And guess what? I really don't care about your hate mail. I built this network on hate. Do you remember? Back to
my
Darlene.
Brother, my brother.
Hey, Darlene. Hey, Darlene. Hey, Darlene. You got Antonio back? That's somebody who remembers. What we stand for. Hey, wait a minute. I got to say this before I get off. Hey, Tony. You know
yes,
who stands for.
Yes, how are you tonight?
Tony.
Hey, Darlene. And hey, Tony.
Hey, Tony. How you doing,
Hey, Tony, you know we stand for the truth.
All right,
we just stand for the truth ever since we were back in Halcyon days. Come on now, Antonio. You know what we do. If it ain't about truth, you ain't about it, huh?
You know, it's so sad. I'm going to tell you, I used to be taught by the best as a little kid, as some people may have, that if nothing else, if you have any problems, go to the police first. But, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to be afraid to send their little children to the arms of the police when they ever feel as though they're threatened after seeing all what's been going on lately. And that's bad because, you know, you heard that song, One Bad Apple Can Spoil a Whole Bunch. Well, all it took is a handful of police officers across the nation to turn around and ruin a good thing that was set up by the nation just to protect us, as Darlene had mentioned. And I admire Toy for wanting to go into Baltimore to participate in peaceful demonstration against the police officers that committed the hate crime, it seems like, and to torture a human being. I know we have some aggravating people out there in the public who the police have to halfway deal with, but do they ever consider the fellow officers who do not participate in all this craziness and put them at jeopardy and have them resented because of their stupidity? But, you know, it's not over till it's over, and everything you said was a mouthful, so take what the producer had said and keep in mind that he's telling you what people have heard for years. And I tell you, as for the officers, they need to screen these officers a lot better than what they do before they hire them. Either that or do what they're supposed to do, treat them accordingly, because they wouldn't want something like that to happen to their children. Thank you very much for the time. And, Darlene, God bless you. You're a good person for bringing on the subject as you see it. And good and much love and luck. And God bless you, Toy, for wanting to follow through. And thank you, producer, for expressing your opinion, which is not the opinion of Blog Talk Radio, like you said. But you obviously felt very moved by the whole thing, just like a lot of us had. Because I wouldn't do to their children what they've done to somebody else's. Thank you, and you all have a good night.
Thank you so much, my sister. Thank you. That is our sister, Antonia Betts, and we'll definitely be hearing from her real soon for a peripheral vision. But one thing I want to comment on what our brother, our producer, said about freeing your mind. Old song. Does everybody know that I'm old school? Parliament Funkadelic. Free your mind and your ass will follow, okay?
Go ahead, girl.
And that's what you folks need to do, okay? You know, just stop all of this crazy stuff. The freedom is not running out here buying all these old crazy things that you know you can't afford or just fad stuff. The freedom is investing into your future and making it one for yourself, because this society wants you to think you have no future. Now, I know that my brother, my producer, would like to come on now for Ngozi time.
Hi, folks. I'm your favorite black Republican, Oladele Malay Wingless. Now, the views of Lonnie Beverly, the old school Lonnie Beverly, he meant exactly what he said. And I am still your mother and father's favorite producer. I want to thank I want to thank Darlene Lawrence. I want to thank our chap, the one and only Reverend Troy Daly, coming on the show tonight. And like I said, you know, I think that, you know, I've said enough. I don't be ashamed anymore. No more. You got some good cops out there doing their job. Please let them do their job. Please don't throw, you know, bricks and bottles and Pepsi all over them so they don't have to shoot you. Did I say that? I'm sorry, guys. Mm-hmm. Did I just say that? So they don't have to shoot you. Because they're going to shoot you.
Yeah, I'm still that same boy, though. Don't get it twisted. In 2023, Oladele Malay Wingosi can always go back to Lonnie Aloysius Beverly. Because when it comes down to what we're going through right now, let's talk about it. Let's get there. We have a brother, all right, Tyree Nichols, okay, who was beaten up because of a woman who was mad about a former relationship and didn't want to see him live. And no, of course, they're not going to talk about it. AP's not going to talk about it. It's coming out in the wash. Five bastards had the audacity to beat that man to a pulp to the point where he died. This time, you can't blame the white man for the situation. Now, you can blame the system to cause the situation within in the mental instability of those officers. Do you know they got caught right away? And all the other white officers didn't get caught right away. It had to be a tribunal, and you had to talk about it and have a community service about it. And it took about months before they were even indicted. You stupid black boys, you got indicted the next day. Bad policing. That's what happens. No matter if it's a white cop, an Asian cop, you all know about the Hispanic cop that beat Sandra Bland down like a dog. Remember those? Remember those days? Beverly Nation, which now is called WBNN, which stands for Beverly Nation Network with a call letter of W, will always stand for the truth. Yeah, this host that will hide behind, you know, their banter and their transcript. But remember, like I said in 2015, and I'm saying tonight, we will always stand for peace, freedom, and justice. But sometimes, if you step on our toe, we stand for war, too. That was the late, great Darlene Lawrence. And Darlene stepped on my toe tonight like she did when she was alive and in that wonderful year, 2015. You heard our great host, Antonia Batts, and our alumni host, Reverend Troy Daly, who had a show here called Purpose Spirit. It was amazing times where all we had was each other. There was no time for play. Remember three statements. Yesterday, okay, is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Tonight is reality. And what is our reality tonight? Stuff is messed up more than ever. And Darlene's spirit and what she stood for is the reason why we classify her as great. The reason why her name is on every single listening connection record of this outstanding story history of WBNN. Imagine that. Every time a host wins a championship, Darlene Lawrence's name is mentioned. We're going to bring on our first caller tonight, Standing Archive. Call number one, you're live and direct with me, your mother and father's favorite.
Is this me?
Yes, it is, Ava Holly. How are you tonight?
It is Ava Holly. How are you tonight? First of all, let me say rest in peace to Darlene Lawrence and all that she stood for. My heart goes out. You know, I'm honored to be able to hear the broadcast tonight. And as I was having a conversation earlier, it's mind-boggling to me how that broadcast was over 7 years ago. I guess it'll be 7 years in May, right?
Isn't that crazy?
Mind-boggling that this stuff is still going
actually,
on.
Actually, Ava, it's 8 years. 8 years. Wow. 8 years,
that's crazy,
Ava?
Right? Yeah, February, 8 years, right. I'm thinking it was May. Yeah, so it is 8 years. It's crazy. But I think if we go back through time, there's always something that is festering. I mean, Antonia Beth said it well, one bad apple spoils a whole bunch. And you did commend the people that are doing their jobs and let them do their jobs. But, you know, I go back to those old cliches that I love. With great power comes great responsibility. And one can only hope that stay silent and that we bring these things up so that the people that are doing the good things can fix it. You know, I mean, obviously it's not fixed. Yet we have to hope that it's going in a better direction, you know, and it's just so sad when we hear things like this, and my heart goes out to all those families that are affected by things like this. It's just craziness to me. I have a friend, a college friend, buddy of mine, 6'8", he was, and we introduced him to his wife in college, and they broke up. And some years later, they wound up getting back together and getting married, and she wound up being a crazy woman. Now, this guy is 6'8". She locked him in the basement, beat him up, and he was, like, unrecognizable for, I think it was about 2 or 3 years that she got away with, like, they did a TV show on that where somebody was locked in the basement. But, I mean, that's all over now, but it's just mind-boggling to me how these things happen, you know. Thank you for having chime in and call in, and it's been an honor to listen to the broadcast.
Well, you know, and you honored Darlene tonight, being part of this, you know, being a fellow host, a family host of this Outstanding Story Network. What more can we say about the crimes, the atrocities that are committed every day in communities where, you know, my son lives in San Francisco, right? And even though, you know, he's safe and all that, a college student, but I still always tell him, if, you know, he has never been stopped by the police ever. And if he does, I train him to be respectable enough to be able to get back to your complex to live and to school the next day. And that's sad that we have to have a training of our kids to be able to survive the police when the police is supposed to protect and serve. So I thank you so much, Ava Holly. What is your next show, Honey Bun?
My next show is the 15th of February, coming up in a couple of weeks, right after Valentine's Day. And we're going to have a couple of great guests, so I'm really excited about that. And, you know, in the meantime, peace and love and spread. Let's spread that peace and love.
That's it. And it's funny, that show is after, that would be four years and a day of Darlene's passing.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my gosh, yep. Wow.
So, you know what I mean? It's so amazing, you know, because we have Tara Strength is going to be on the night of that, you know, sad day. You know, our network lost two outstanding, thank you, Ava. I love you. And, you know, we had, you know, two outstanding hosts die a month apart from each other. And that was the great late Darlene Lawrence and the great late Anna Waddell. And I know, you know, that girl from Tyler, Texas. She was, you know, she's in our spirit. If she was on this, walking on this plane right now, she'd be lighting up this airway right now, and I wouldn't be able to control her tongue. Oh, my goodness. Let's go to our next caller. Carmen, to you live right now with me, your mother and father's favorite.
Hello, Brother O. How are you tonight? Sienna speaks.
Hey, I mean, you know, it's great to hear. It's great to hear history.
Yes, it is. It's a little, it saddened me a little bit that she's not here, so I'll never get to talk to her. But, I mean, like, it's a great thing that you do. because you give us all, like, a place for our legacy. You know, like, it's crazy how you said the show was. I didn't know how long ago the show was, but I know she said, like, I think it was, like, the 535th show, I think it was. And I'm like, I know you're on, like, the 3300s or something like that now. So I'm like, wow. Like, all those episodes in which she's saying is so prevalent today. It's crazy, you know. This was just a decision I just made. I don't know if I have time, but do I have time to read a poem that I wrote back in 2015?
You have time to talk your truth because you are you.
Okay. Okay. So I wrote this poem in 2015. I haven't read it in a long time, so forgive me, you know. I wrote this, and, you know, I'm not a black man, but I wrote it in, you know, as if I was a black man. So I wanted to share it. Across America right now, I've never, you know, shared it other than like a friend or anything like that. So here we go. Okay. Worry has been become an infection in my brain. I'm sorry, my screen went off. Worry has become an infection in my brain. This pressure in my heart can't be explained. Being a black man in America means you were born poor twice. There's no silver spoon made for us. If there's anything we want, we have to fight. We get the luxury of disease called oppression. Knock 5 steps back at the first sign of any progression. My future promise me to remain an easygoing pessimist. So hard to see us slit our wrists. This is not the diary of a mad black man. This is the diary of a black man whose ancestors were brought to a new land and the story of the descendants left with a pen to tell the story. Glory be to those who want to win this war without using fists. They'll be lucky enough to feel the heat from the gun's tip, leaving childless mothers to mourn. From that, anger will be born. A nation divided. For goodness sake, our souls are crying. To think a pack of Skittles and tea could get me killed? This is not the life I envision for my dreams to be fulfilled. We wait for justice, but it's only a slap on the wrist. Is that really the value of a black man's life? How many would they add to the list? And that was it.
Wow. That was wonderful. And, you know, a person like Tiana speaks, we explain something to our legacy and our history. This young lady is not only talented, but brilliant, dynamic, progressive, and spectacular, a three-time consecutive champion as a new host. And she shares so much love. This woman's love will never be unquestioned because she is who she is, and I'm proud of who she is. She is part of the storied, the WBNN, the outstanding Beverly Nation. And I want our hosts to be able to talk about that on their shows. We are Beverly Nation. If we get back to that, then we can be stronger than ever before. We are Beverly Nation. Tiana Speaks, when is your next show?
My next show is February 10th at 9:30 Eastern Standard Time. The Power of Thought.
We need more of your poetry. So, you know, when Boston comes on and does his show, hey, man, share your poetry. I'm telling you, Tiana, you move people tonight with that wonderful, wonderful spoken word.
Oh, I was hoping that I could get to it before you, like, you know, cued me in. I'm like, man, I kept trying to find it. And I'm listening to it. I'm like, I got to read my poem, you know. Like, I've always planned on reading it on this network. I was just waiting for the right time, and I felt like tonight was definitely the right time. You know, I wrote that poem off of someone else who wrote a poem, and it just inspired me to write my own version of it. So, you know, I feel really good that God gave me the ability to even put myself and empathize with someone that I would never be a black man because I was born a woman, but I can't imagine how it feels to walk out, you know, and not knowing if you're going to return home, you know what I mean, that fear, you know. So I decided to put it into words.
You ready for this? And I'm glad you're on the line right now before I bring on my next caller. And I want you to, you know, hear this directly, Tiana, and the rest of the world. And this is wonderful tonight. We, for the first time in ONI Dynasty history, we celebrate now 13 linear consecutive all-time connection records as we congratulate Darlene Lawrence. How about that? On her 37th, and she's not even here. You know, this is amazing. This is tonight, okay? We celebrate her 37th all-time connection record with her historic championship, the Darlene Lawrence Championship, and we honor our late, great Hall of Famer. How you like that, Tiana? Wow, look at the Holy Spirit granting Darlene a championship, and she's no longer alive.
Yeah. I know we could get more with her because she's very powerful. I can just feel her presence, even though I've never spoken to her. I know who you choose to be on the network is a series of strong individuals, you know, and she was definitely like, you know, I remember the first time I heard her, I'm like, wow, like, you know, I feel like I know her, even though I know I'll never be able to speak to her, which is a little sad to me. I got a little sad when I heard her voice, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, she feels like she would be like a big sister, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, I can feel the love, I could feel the care, I could feel the concern, I could feel like all of that, you know, so it's just, you know, absolutely amazing, you know, that we are on a consecutive championship 13, and I know tomorrow will be 14, and then it'll be 15. I'm calling it into existence. I don't care anybody thinks, but I know, and I'm glad to be
part
of that.
Yes, indeed. I mean, this is a great time for our network, and for Darlene to no longer be on this plane. She knows she lives in the spirit of all of us, and every night. And this is the first time. This is something that can never be done because we honor her with her own championship. That's amazing right there. And we honor Darlene with her own championship tonight and her connection record. You know, we had two hosts, Tiana, you know, and I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you calling. We had two hosts during this streak, okay? Louis Devon and now Darlene. Next caller, who are you and where are you calling from?
Yo, this is Clever One, one half of the Bulls Brothers, represent from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where we threw 40 ounces at the paddy wagons over there on 24th Street down there in South Philly, you know what I'm saying? We want to get down with police. What's going on to this evening?
Yeah. Hey, man. Yeah, man. You talked to your mother and father's favorite, man. I appreciate you calling, man. Go ahead and speak your piece, man. We got time. Go ahead and do your thing.
Well, here's what I'm going to say about these things, right? First of all, you know what I mean? Shout out to Darlene Lawrence. Shout out to Baby Bob with that poem, you know what I mean? That was fire right there, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, also, man, you know, give us an opportunity to hear these classics on these shows. It gives us a reminder to kind of go over these things which we can kind of put in place for further strategies against these evils, you know what I'm saying? You know, because Beverly, we live amongst us, amongst the evil people, you know what I'm saying, where you got soldiers that work for the Shaitan. A lot of they take on these tasks, being police officers, people of law enforcement, you know what I mean? That gives them the upper hand to create these evils and you know, practice their mischief amongst the land. However, you know, we all are aware of all these people. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm going to tell you, I had some sergeants rip their police pants trying to catch Clev One up there on Stenton Avenue and all that kind of shit. Excuse my language, but, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I had my run-ins. You know what I mean? Clev One done been in the precincts where they done, I done seen it all. I done seen spray people get money in the mouth. You know what I'm saying? Handcuffs too tight. You know what I mean? And, you know, I done seen free falls. You know, go on inside of a paddy wagon, actually, while it was rotten. You know what I mean? You know, but just imagine being there back there with a few other people, you know what I mean, unhandcuffed or handcuffed, you know what I'm saying, and it's going down in the back. Either or, this is a circus of evil that we have to pay attention to ourselves, where we go to amusement park, we see the rides. You know what I mean? You see people with playing bumper cars. That's people stood in line to do that. Let's not stand in line, people, to go to jail or to be even candidates to be taken to jail or to be even candidates to be brutalized by any of these police officers that kind of want to get their shit off on you because they've been quagmires all their life. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to say it. You know, they just learned how to paintbrush some vagina. As a grown man, 40-year-old virgins, you know what I mean? But I just wanted to share that with y'all. I'm Clever One, one half of the Booze Brothers, representing from the Broad Street Bully side of Philadelphia, where cops got shot at over there on 11th and Ontario in North Philly near Broad Street Eddies. Check your satellite.
You heard what he said. Now, of course, we want to make sure that he gets the show in. And, you know, he always threw a shout out at the end of his statements. But, you know, listen, before he starts talking, this is the 2022 WBNN Lineage News Host of the Year. My brother. Tell him, man. Tell him.
Well, check this out. Check this out. I'm gonna be on there on the 22nd, y'all. Y'all heard that, right? 22nd, I'm gonna be coming up. You feel what I'm saying? And we're gonna get real spicy that night, cause I'm gonna be talking about some few things. I ain't gonna tell you what it's about right now, but these police better watch out. You see what I'm saying? I'm coming for them like Van Helsing, because they're demons.
The one and only Club One, man. I love him, man. That's my man. Now we go to In Excelsior. This man is a supreme freedom fighter for his own people as well as others, but his people first. The outstanding and loving International Radio Hall of Fame Lifetime Achiever for the Class of 2022, Mr. Honey Bach Batum. How you feel, sir?
Hey. Peace and abundant divine blessings. You're now listening to the tone of voice of the master sound therapist, master sound healer, and the grand architect of the universe. Shout out to Darlene Lawrence. I'm telling you, that sister there, my sister, my sister. I do that in honor of you. Congratulations. Once you vacate the body, you're still alive, so you are definitely enjoying your championship in the celestial terrestrial realm. And I'm proud of you, and it's great to be able to listen to your tone of voice and many people who never, ever heard you. Now, I ask your brother, I'm going to speak on your behalf. First of all, let me do the plug. Next Thursday on We Will Aware You, I am the host of We Will Aware You. The name of my show for the next advancement is A Rude Awakening. Sleep time is over. Inspired by real and current events and a gunshot to the head. Now, what's so unique about this one here is I had already had something already planned with my special honored guest, Mr. Matthew Graham, right? An honorary member of We Will Aware You. And all of a sudden, the spiritual world said, nope, nope, nope. Once again, my spiritual mother said, address this subject. This was before what took place with the five cops. Now, notice how conveniently that they hid that it was a Caucasian amongst them. Notice how he didn't even get arrested the same way those evil beings got arrested the next day. And I'm willing to bet my last $2 that they're going to send those five demons through the ringer. They're going to throw the book at them. But I guarantee you, as I'm placing my bet right now, that he would get a lesser treatment just because he is a descendant of the founding fathers of this nation, beautiful America, that was beautiful long before the conquerors came over here and conquered, right? And let's be honest here. The police never, ever was, and this ain't no disrespect to Antonia. I love her. But they never, ever was on our side. The police was put together to police us, to stop us. That's what they was put together for. But I know one thing. They wouldn't have tried that when I was walking through the streets of Nam. Mark my word on that. Also, I want to say this here, that our people have really, really got to wake up. My last thing I want to say is shout out to our Lamb of the Most High. Known at the time as Saeed Issa El Hati El Mahdi. Well, for 20 years straight, he told to police, we're going to police our own community. Where some of the muggers, some of the people that was committing some of the most harsh crimes, they became a part of the Ansar Law community. And I end this with the Ansar Creed. Yah, Ayu Helalina, Amanu Kunu Insada La, Yet Kaluna Fidina La, Watasmu Ilhad Allahi Jamahin, Walla Tufaraku. Meaning, O you who are faithful, be aiders of the Most High, hold on to the rope of the Most High as one community, and don't be divided against yourselves. For 20 straight years, we didn't need police to come in our neighborhood. From Bushwick, Brooklyn, to Philadelphia, City of Brotherly Love, from 1970 to 1990. So it is possible for us to police our own self, to govern our own self without the aid of anyone else. And as always,
you heard.
To all in all, who's in all, through all, above, and in compassing all. Always. Love you.
Love you too, my man. And that is the Hall of Famer himself, Uni Bakatun, the Magic Man Haru. We go to our next caller. Caller, you're live right now, honoring the late, great Darlene Lawrence, our legacy here at WBNN.
What's going on, brother? Oh, peace and blessings. Peace and blessings. This is Frederick Beatty coming to you live from Ellenwood, Georgia. How are you, man?
Hey, man, you know how it is, man. We just honoring legacy, cuz. What's up?
For sure, man. I mean, I just had to call this number one to show support, but also just to honor this young lady, this lady, Miss Lawrence. I think I may have heard maybe one or two of her broadcasts, but you know, just from hearing those one or two, just a powerful lady. The world is lesser for her law. The world is lesser for her not being on this plane of existence.
You better believe it. You better believe it. And we really appreciate you, man, and being a new intern. You know, we have three set interns with ShamGod, Power Hill, and Tanya Speaks, and then now whoever I hire on Friday, and it's amazing. And tell everyone about your show.
So I'm going to be one of the newest interns on the ONE Syndicated Station Host Intern Show featuring me, your guy, Frederick Beatty. So the subject that I'm going to talk about on the 17th, which is a Friday, is called The Avenue of an Absent Observation. So, yeah. Not going to get to specifics about what I'm talking about, but a lot of what you
that's
guys
right,
are talking about
right.
now, a lot of guys, what you're talking about right now, speaking to that. A lot of what I'm going to talk about speaks to what you guys are talking about right now.
Well, you know what? I always tell my hosts, leave it to our own imagination. We cannot wait for the 17th of February with you. And what more can we say? Welcome to WBNN.
Yes, sir. Most definitely appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. One love to you, brother.
Love you, man. That's Frederick Beatty, man, our new intern. The legacy continues. We go to our next caller right now. Carly, you're live with me, your mother and father's favorite.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey, Angela. Myrtle Beach.
Indeed.
I'm just calling in. I'm just sitting back, like, everybody been touching on some amazing stuff. Like, I've been on legacy and being able to create a legacy and what you've done, and I can't let it go. What you have done for a lot of us. Our job is to leave something that people are going to remember us by. And I keep stressing legacy. If people follow me, they listen to me, they hear my reels, they listen to the things that I say, it's all about legacy. And that's what Darlene has done. Her legacy will forever live on because you provided an opportunity for so many of us to do the same thing. And I thank you for being obedient because you allowed a lot of people that opportunity, a lot of people that's come through this network for whatever reason, but they was able to create a legacy. Doing now, they have a legacy over here that's going to live on as long as those archives are alive. That legacy is going to be there. So I'm just grateful to be a part of this legacy and a part of what is going on over here. We have some amazing people that just have some amazing perspective on life. And no, we don't see everything the same because we don't have the same we don't have the same vision. Some of us wear glasses, some of us got contacts, some of us tall, some of us short. We all see things different. But the fact that we can respect each other and love on each other and be there for each other and learn from each other, it's just amazing. And we're setting examples for people to come after us. Legacy. Thank you.
Yes.
For allowing us the opportunity to create and leave a legacy. I won't let it go. It's on everything. And I want people to know that you've given us that opportunity. And I thank you.
Well, you know, first of all, you're a wonderful person. The fastest pacing host in the history of our network. And I I'm a curator now, mentor emeritus of the Hall of Fame, so I don't get a chance to vote this year for the first time in 6 years. And I'm telling everyone out there, please, in the sound of my voice, understand that this young lady is special. One of the hardest working people I know is Angela Thomas Smith, period, point blank. She's a person of loveliness. And with her hard work and her dedication, she has come to us in a way that needs to be manifested. You know, she has her own show on Blog Talk on Monday, and that's what she does on a constant basis. That's who she is. And I love Angie because, you know, Angie, a lot of times, you know, you always come on and you always give me props. And I appreciate that. You know, I'm not looking for my host to do that. But when they do it, it shows that they love what we do on a constant basis. They love the legacy of what we have performed. You know, like Tiana said, man, you know, that was in the 500s of a show, right? Tonight, we celebrate, you know, even though we can't do, you know, the 3,376th show, that's going to be tomorrow night. Because this was a show that was an archive, right? And to have Darlene have a championship tonight, and it shows that people care about what we're doing. They're actually listening to what we're saying. That's amazing. You can't buy that. You can't beat God's given no matter how hard you try. You can't. You just can't. And I'm just proud of just all the, you know, the 264 hosts that I've touched. You know, we have 21 now, but we, in our history, we have, you know, almost 300 hosts that come on and be a part of what we've done. And I love you very much for that. And continue your hard work and dedication. And I believe one day, if it's not this year, you shall be nominated into the Hall of Fame. Hard to think about that, right? That's a lot to think about, right? But it can happen for you too.
I do, you know, to do better.
That's all. You break it up a little bit, Angie. Break it. Come close to the mic. I want everybody to hear what you got to say.
Like, believe the word. You know, we can. We won't.
No. You're breaking up. But that's okay. That's okay. You know, but listen, we know what you've done before you came on this network. And now,
right.
You know, it's wonderful. And I'm going to let Angie pass on, but it's wonderful what she's done, man, on a constant basis. You know, before my commissioner comes on, man, you know, I want to honor Darlene with a song that she loves so much. And then the next voice you will hear would none other than our commissioner of this outstanding network.
You put shoes on my feet. And Championships are named after. And listening to this show tonight, I can definitely see why our all-time connection records are named after this wonderful, magnificent woman. Wow, an amazing show tonight. The music was awesome as well. And the comments by our host, very awesome. And it was wonderful to hear our different hosts on that show, on that BevNet Classic. I really enjoyed that, Brother O. It was very, very awesome. And for tonight to make our 13th consecutive this season, it's just awesome. This is the first time in Ogeny history, and we are at 13 all-time connection records consecutively. So 13 consecutive nights of greatness from our WBNN host is such a wonderful thing. And for Darlene Lawrence to get her 37th connection record tonight is just amazing. And wow, what more can I say tonight? Nothing at all. Tonight was a night of greatness, and it shows our greatness here at WBNN. So keep up the good work, hosts. Keep it up, and let's continue to support each other and get that family thing going again here at WBNN, at Beverly Nation. Keep it up. And, you know, next week, as we're going through the rest of this week, next week is going to be a very, very wonderful anniversary week. So just continue doing what you're doing and just do even greater, WBNN host, as we go into our anniversary week of greatness. So next week is such a wonderful thing. Wow. Again, awesome show. WBNN has advertising through Ngozi Time Multimedia. We're on Pinterest, Instagram, and Twitter at Ngozi_time. And Oladele Malebe Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments and suggestions for our wonderful programming tonight? Oladele.Ngozi@my.com. From Mother's and Father's favorite producer, Oladele Malebe Ngozi, I am WBNN Commissioner Dr. Chinchilla J, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Horses Radio that support us on a constant basis. Stay tuned for International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting enshrinee, Christine Powell, with the Jesus Show. That's tomorrow night right here on WBNN at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or you can tune in at www.blogtalkradio.com. And don't forget, every Sunday night, News Forum with your girl, Chinchilla J. That's this coming Sunday, 9:30 p.m. Make sure you tune in. Now back to International Internet Radio Hall of Fame broadcasting lifetime achiever, DJ Olasky.
Well, darling, my sister, as you would call me, your brother, our heart aches for you. You now not being here with us. The pain of losing three hosts on this network allows my drive to be even greater. Not only Darlene, but in that same year, 2019, we lost another host. Her name was Anna Waddell. A great, great, great soldier of love, respect, and justice. And she always expressed her opinion. She was a goddess of love and encouragement to a lot of people who remembered her. Uni and Jerry and Sister Bessie and Taris, who are here and know who she was. Antonia, who she was. And she passed away a month after Darlene. So we were still handling, you know, trying to deal with the death of Darlene Lawrence, and then we lose Anna on March 14th. A lot to deal with. And then, 2 years later, in May of 2021, we lose a person who was one of the most outstanding poets in internet radio history, even before he came to WBNN with the great Gina Storm. and Desire. Let me talk about that legacy for people who don't understand. Those three, which was the only trio we ever had hosting in our network's story history, they had 20 all-time connection records. At that time, our company's best 17 straight. And the legacy was so great that when Gina Storm started her show, she came on and did 16 herself in a row, undefeated. The reason why Clever One has his record, because we couldn't count Gina Storm's record, because she was not a rookie. She just had her own show. So it shows you the legacy of Clever One, because now he's the totalitarian new host that started from start to finish with 9 consecutive all-time connection records. That legacy, King Cadence, Randy Rogers, we miss you too. We miss you too. Our lives have been given to keep this network afloat. A lot has been offered to the host to carry on the legacy to be dynamic, progressive, and spectacular. Shall we be that? Shall we be the beacon of light that shines around the world? For all the folks that see sometimes closure in situations, turnover, which you might add in your own definition, let me tell you one of our mantras and one of our mission statements. We have no time to rebuild, for rebuilding affords no such luxury. Time and time again, we must retool for a commitment to excellence, to be the beacon of light that shines around the world. We shall be that. Enough said.